Beloveds, hello and welcome. This is episode 117 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for being here, no matter where you are in space and where you are in time. I am grateful for your presence here today. This is an all levels practice. It's a full length class, 75 minutes, and I'm so glad that you're here. My family and I are traveling right now. You can keep in touch with us and keep up with us on Instagram. The link is in the show notes at sunroseyoga.com. Love. So, something that's been occurring to me lately, just as things happen, you know, as we spend time with our kids or we spend time with our families or we embark on new journeys, it's how, like, in most every moment, there is, like, heartbreak and heart healing that happen at the same time. It's all, like, I don't know if the expression is two sides of the same coin, but it almost feels like it should be just like there is one side of one coin, and it is both of those things at once and all the time. And part of what we're doing in this practice is we're learning how to hold space for that. You know, so that we don't have to classify people or experiences as either good or bad, as either all this or all that. And we can see things with a broader perspective and know them with our complete self. And so sometimes we create these challenging scenarios for ourselves here in this space. And the idea isn't to punish ourselves or to see how hard we can be on ourselves, because we're all so good at that, aren't we? It's to see how we can hold space for both effort and ease, for both heartache and heart heal in the same breath. So that's the idea. We usually begin by making some sounds. And it's funny how that this practice has evolved. It used to be really kind of complicated and lots of words and lots of things to remember. And it has sort of unraveled into just making sounds. And the sounds that we make are really simple and they're really elemental and essential. And this week, we've like taken it one step out in its, one more step in its unraveling to play around with vowels, with sounds like ah, a, e, o, and to make them just as they arise. And to be with them and notice what it sounds like to make them and notice how they sort of blend into each other. And so that we see how I and you are the same and kind of brings us all back to that idea of holding space for all of it. And so the notes, don't worry about them. I'll play some, but you don't have to sing them. And we just let it begin as it begins.
Thank you. And so in time, we'll start to move toward all fours, hands and knees, table pose. And you might, with you, take your blocks to the front of the mat. And I did not intend for that to sound like Yoda, but it did. And as you organize, like, notice how your hands are making contact with earth. Maybe look at them. And spread the fingers wide. Stretch the length of each finger into the earth so you really see that it is making contact. And you might even start to sort of claw the pads of your fingers, the tips of your fingers into the floor. And then spread and stretch the fingers again. So you just feel this sort of contrast in sensation. And at the pace of your own breath, for a few breaths, we'll move between a rounded and an arched shape, a cow and a cat shape. And you might start with your exhalation, breathing out, pressing the hands into the floor, rounding the back, letting the crown of the head become heavy and the tailbone become heavy. And as you breathe in, you might let the heart start to drop down as your tailbone and your forehead went up. And we'll move between these two places, just at the pace of your own breath, for a handful of breaths. Being with the shapes, being with, you know, this interaction that your body's happening with the environment, with the earth beneath you, with the air, space, and sky all around you. Noticing how your breath engages and interacts with your body and where you feel the breath. And just noticing. And what if we allow ourselves to, like, widen our focus today as we work together beyond this question of, am I doing it right or wrong? We expand that to, what is actually happening right now? So in time, we'll let these movements become quieter, so that the movements become closer and closer to the spine. So that they, you know, start to move to this place where they're just like barely a ripple on the surface. And maybe from the outside, it looks like nothing's happening. Isn't that how it is? And when you arrive in a space where it's really hard to tell whether you're moving, and probably the outside world thinks you're not, we'll pause there. And you might maybe bend your elbows just the teeniest, tiniest bit so we're not hanging out in the joints, and so we can just sort of feel the engagement in the arms. And as you take a breath in, breathe into the fullness of the back of your body. And as you breathe out, start to move your hips toward your heels. Start to move your booty toward your heels and the forehead toward the floor. Bhaktasana devotional. And we'll just linger here for a couple of breaths. You might walk your fingertips forward on the floor. Notice where you're feeling that. You might get really long. There could be real engagement happening from like the bottom of your shoulder blades all the way out through the tips of the fingers. And what if you lifted your hips up just the teeniest, tiniest fraction of a bit and then set them back down, letting them really yield to gravity? And as a breath in comes to you, start to draw your body back toward that all fours shape, tabling. Start to pull your body back up. And this time as you exhale, we'll tuck the toes under and move your hips in the general direction of your heels before lifting your knees away from the floor, moving the legs closer to straight, sort of unfolding into downward facing dog. Nice and easy, nice and slow. And from a place where you're already with the length of your spine. Yeah. Now, so for this class, anytime you hear me say move to downward facing dog or Adho Mukha Svanasana, that's code for move to whatever shape allows you to be with the full, elegant length of your spine. And that might not always be down dog. It could be puppy, or it could be dolphin, or anahatasana, or devotional, really, just were. And while we're here, like, really feel your way around this shape. You might shift your weight from left to right. You might bend one knee at a time, or both knees together. You might lift your head up and then let it drop back down. Let all sorts of weirdness happen so that you can explore what makes this shape, this shape. And in time, either from table or for downward facing dog, we'll breathe in and we'll step the right foot forward between the hands. And we'll come to a lunge. Now to start, you might place your hands onto your blocks, elevating the hands, so that you have some room for the length of your spine to reveal itself. And so your left knee could be lifted up off the floor or it could be on the floor. Either are great. For stability and for safety, we'd like to keep the front shin perpendicular to the earth, which might involve scooching your foot forward. It might also involve scooching the left foot back so you have a little more room. Nice. So to begin, let's just sort of like be with this pulsation of breath that's already happening. And you might pulse in the body. As you breathe in, you might lift up into the hips, straightening the right leg a little or a lot, and maybe rounding. And as you exhale, come back into the full length of that lunge. Now, if your left knee is on the floor, you might do this by shifting the hips back, straightening the right leg, letting the head become heavy and the spine round. And we'll do this just for a handful of breaths, just sort of like pulsing. And the pulsation, like, it doesn't have to be anything that it's not already. So there will be days when it is big and swoopy and loopy and cursive and lots of things are visible. And there will be days when this pulsation is happening in the increments of like millimeters. And the idea is to hold space for both. You know, to be able to see and hear, you know, the fire truck as well as the slug. And maybe the next time or two that you're exhaling into the length of your lunge, we'll pause there and we'll just notice, trace internally the path from the center of the left heel all the way up the leg, all the way into the hips, all the way up the spine, the back of the neck, and into the crown of the head. Like, space is already happening. And slowly, with the breath out, we'll release the hands to the earth. We'll make our way back to either table or downward dog or puppy or a Hello Kitty in your rainbow Skittle face. And be with both sides of the body. Notice what you feel in the left side of the body. Notice what you feel in the right side of the body. And that sounds really simple. Like, sometimes it like sounds so simple it's stupid, but it's so hard. Because what happens when we like try to feel? Like, our mind sometimes wants to grab us and pull us back into a story about how things are, how they have been, how they should be, why they are a certain way. How can I make this harder? How can I avoid being where I am? And that's all normal. Like, everybody does it. But when you become aware that you're doing it, can you bring yourself back just to this moment, just to sensation? And so in time, with the breath in, either from table or downward facing dog, we'll step the left foot forward and we'll find this beautiful, elegant lunge on the left side and make it your own. So if there were things you learned from side one, like, I need a blanket under my knee, then make that happen. Or, I need my blocks to be a certain way, then make that happen. And you might be with this length of the body. And then find the pulsation of your breath, breathing into your hips maybe as you rise up into them, straightening the front leg, letting the spine round, and exhaling into the fullness of the lunge. Way of being and just let them be the way they are. And maybe the next time that you're exhaling into the fullness of that lunge, we'll pause. And you might even bend your right knee a little bit and engage the right glutes. Yeah. And can you trace that path internally from the center of the right heel up the leg into the low back, up the length of the spine, through the back of the neck, into the head? And placing your hands on the blocks, as you breathe out, step your right foot forward to meet the left. Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Let the crown of your head be heavy. Your gaze might be back at your knees or between the knees. As you let your head become heavy, let the back of the skull become soft. And you might even experiment here with shifting your weight from the balls of the feet into the heels. or from the left foot to the right. Just sort of like noticing your body's interaction with the shape. Noticing your body's engagement and interaction with the environment.
And you might bend the knees a little or a lot as you just sort of cascade from the hips into this fold. And with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll start to roll all the way up to stand. Maybe sweeping the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And breathing out, bringing the hands to the heart.
Relax the effort of standing. You might wiggle your fingers or wiggle your toes or shift or sway. And in time, we'll take one block and place it between the thighs. And as you hold without overholding the block, we're making contact, but we're not like wrenching, right? Notice what's happening in your body. Like, notice how you're holding your feet, how your feet are making contact with the earth. You might look at them. Notice if your tendency is to lock the knees. And if it is, you might just invite a little softness there. Like, when we're rigid, then when things happen, when the wind blows, we fall over and we fall apart, we break. But if we give ourselves a little, you know, give, we're not going to fall apart. So as you breathe in, we'll press the feet into the floor. Let your tailbone become slightly heavier. Start to draw the belly toward the spine, like in a tiny increment, like a millimeter, just an engagement. And let the shoulders be soft. And with your next breath in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers up toward the sky. And with your right hand, take hold of your left wrist. And just loosely hold. Soften the shoulders. And with your next breath in, press the feet into the floor. And we'll start to lengthen the left side of the body, sort of pulling gently the wrist away from the shoulder. And as you breathe out, with each breath out, let softness happen. Let your shoulders be soft. Maybe let your tailbone be soft. Let the knees be soft. And with another breath, you might find a little more length in this left side of the body. And as you breathe out, let your left shoulder be heavy and let your gaze shift down at the floor if it hasn't already, so that we're finding some ease through the low to mid back. And as you breathe in, let's bring the body back upright. And as you breathe out, release the arms. And we'll just pause in sort of an exploratory tadasana. So just standing, noticing the left side of the body, noticing the right side of the body. And when your next inhalation comes to you, we'll use it to sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky, this time taking the right wrist in the left hand and lengthening the right side of the body. You might find that you sort of naturally crescent to the left, letting each breath out bring with it a sense of softness and yielding, like in the knees and in the jaw. And as you feel into the length that's already happening in the right side of the body, continue to soften with the breaths out. Maybe your right shoulder becomes slightly heavier and your gaze shifts down. And as you breathe in, we'll bring the body back upright. And we'll breathe out and release. And notice and as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, we'll dive forward, Uttanasana, standing forward fold. And for the next couple of breaths, at the pace of your own breath, let your inhalations bring you to Ardha Uttanasana, halfway lift, lifting through the heart, lengthening the spine, and exhale, folding. And if you can sort of follow the natural movements of your body with your breath, and let this be almost just an amplification of what's already happening, letting it all be really natural, like an expansion and a softness. And maybe the next time that you're exhaling into your forward fold, you'll stay there and we'll release the block from between the legs. And you might again place your hands on the blocks. And as you breathe in, we'll step the right foot back about a leg's length. Keeping the left knee bent, we'll lower the right heel toward the earth. So the toes will angle out a little or a lot. The left hand may stay on your block, or it might come to the top of the left thigh, or the forearm might come to the top of the left thigh. The right hand will come to the hip or to the ribs, just to kind of check in and notice what you're feeling. And at the pace of your own breath, you might find that you're exhaling and rounding your back, and inhaling and arching your back. And as you do that, you might find like, oh, my arms want to sweep all over the place. And if they do, just follow that natural line of movement. You might find that, no, everything stays really close to the center, and probably from the outside it looks like I'm not moving, but I really am. It will always be different. It will look nothing like what your neighbor is doing. And slowly, super slowly, we'll start to saunter into our fullest expression of the shape, into Uttita Parsvakonasana. Remembering that that fullest expression doesn't necessarily mean the one you've seen, you know, in Light on Yoga or on the cover of Yoga Journal. You might be reaching your right hand toward the sky, or you might be reaching it down the side of the body. You might let your right shoulder be soft, or someone else is letting their heart bloom. The name of the shape, Uttita Parsvakonasana, is extended lateral angle. So can you be with this right side of the body? Can you be with the aliveness, the electricity of the right side of the body? And slowly from here, we'll start to shift toward Trikonasana, triangle pose, where we start to straighten the left leg. For some of you, the forearm might want to stay at the top of the thigh. For others, your left hand will slide down the shin. Others will place the hand on the block. Right hand might reach straight up or overhead. It might come to rest on the belly, the hip, or the sacrum. And if you have a tendency to lock the knees, you might let the teeniest, tiniest little micro bend happen in the knee. And the idea here is to support the spine, to support the natural length and curves of the spine. Nice. And with the breath in, we'll start to cartwheel the arms, hands, and fingers toward the earth. And as you breathe out, we'll step back to something like downward facing dog. It might be down dog, it might be dolphin, it might be puppy. The place where you can be with the length of your spine. Move like you. And even if it's your, 10,000th, downward dog, let it be the only one. Be with it completely as you investigate it. How do I feel it today? Where am I engaging right now? And we can do that so many places in our lives. Like, oh my gosh, how many times have we, made the drive to work or the walk to work? How can I be with it completely? How many times have I seen my husband's face? Can I look at it like for the first time, the only time? So as it comes to you, let an inhalation invite your right foot forward between the hands. And you might elevate your hands on the blocks. And let's check in here. As we bend the right knee and we keep this front knee stable right over the top of the right ankle. And we'll sort of spin the left toes out to the left as we lower the heel toward the earth, making our way to Uttita Parsvakonasana. The right hand might stay on the right block, right, that's a lot of rights, to the pinky toe side of your right foot. Or you might bring the forearm to the top of the thigh or the hand to the top of the thigh. Wherever you can be with the length of the spine. Your left hand might come to the ribs or to the hip as you sort of feel your way in, rounding and arching. Getting to know your own body, getting to know the places where things feel really easy. Getting to know the places where things feel really hard. And then sort of looking for the balance. If it feels really easy, lots of times in the shapes that can indicate that, there's like potentially some hypermobility there. The potential for weakness over time, so we need to work to support that. And we'll start to slowly saunter into your fullest expression of the shape. And can you be with the length of your spine? Let there be be structure and softness happening all the time. And we'll make this slow transition. You might press the feet into the floor and feel the contact as you move your right leg closer to straight. Notice how your center of gravity sort of shifts back into the hips. And again, your right hand might slide down the shin, or it might come to the block, or you might bring it to the top of the thigh. Your left hand might come to the hip or the ribs. You might extend it toward the sky or up overhead. Be with the length of your own body that's already there. And so with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll rise all the way up to stand. We'll turn the right toes to face the long side of the mat. And while you're doing that, you might grab one of those blocks and take it with you as you sort of shift your vantage point to the long side of the mat. Now, depending on your body, depending on your hips and your knees, it might make sense to angle the toes in slightly or to keep them parallel to each other. You might bring your hands to your hips and let the tailbone and the sitting bones become a little bit heavier. Now, this might feel sort of like slouchy, dumpy posture for the moment. Don't worry too much about it. Press your big toes into the floor and send a message to your quads to lift your kneecaps. Now from there, we'll let, keeping that happening, let just a little bit of softness happen in the knees so that we're not locking. Yeah. Invite the belly button to move a millimeter closer to the spine, and invite your heart to bloom. All right, so all this structure is happening. Let there be just a hint of softness around the edges. And with your next breath out, pressing the big toes into the floor, we'll start to hinge from the hips, letting the heart spill toward the earth, moving toward Prasarita Padottanasana. Your gaze might be right down at the floor, right below your nose, as your heart softens. And then in time, you might choose to tuck the chin ever so slightly so that your gaze shifts back between the legs. Now, for some of you, this will all just feel like nonsense, and there's more support that is necessary. And for you, you'll bring your hands to the block and continue the effort and the ease of lengthening. Maybe even keeping the gaze slightly forward to encourage length in your spine. Nice. That's good to keep the knee a little bit soft. Why don't you place your hands on your block and bring your head up until it hits my arm? Yeah. And bring your shoulders over your head. Yeah. How's that feel? Good. Looks awesome. Beautiful. Ah, beautiful. Yes, exactly. Beautiful. What if you're soft? Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor. You might let a little bit deeper bend happen in your knees as we start to rise up to stand. And then relax. Let your knees bend. You might even find what we're calling this, like, center field pose, where you turn the toes out and you bring the arms to the tops of the thighs. I don't know if this is the most effective outfielding strategy, but that's not my line of work. And then in time, we'll stand up and we'll turn the toes out if they're not already. And you might bring your hands to the hips or your hands to the belly or the sacrum. Pressing the toes that you have into the floor. Softening at the knees just a little bit, letting the tailbone be heavy. And with the breath out, starting to bend the knees. And it doesn't have to be the deepest plié that you've ever done. And you might even breathe in and come back up, breathe out and pulse back down. You could do that a couple of times until you sort of settle in. And so we're doing that thing where we're creating a challenging moment so that we can find the ease within it. So in time, settle into the plié, which this is called star or goddess. And we'll notice what parts of the body are talking to us. Like, where are you feeling the fire? Go to those places. Like, maybe it's your hamstrings or your quads. Go and see if you can locate the center. And if you can, see how far out from the center you feel that sensation. And with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor. Start to rise slowly back up to stand. And as you breathe out, like, sort of find the natural antidote to that. Your toes might face forward, you might bend the knees, you might, you know, sort of shift from side to side. And then just find a spot, whether it's a wide-legged stance or a close-legged stance, where you can just sort of close the eyes and notice what you feel. Okay, so we'll do this one more time, and this time we'll be a little more intentional about the work of being with challenge. So we'll turn the toes out. And before we get in there, I'll just make a little experiment or suggestion where you might repeat to yourself the word gentleness as you're in this shape. And as you breathe out, feel gentleness in your body. And so this time, you might switch up the arms. So if the hips or the belly or the sacrum worked, you could stay with it. You could also venture out to inhaling and sweeping the arms, hands, and fingers up toward the sky. And as you breathe out, bending both the knees and the elbows. And again, you could pulse in and out a couple of times before you settle. Before you find this embodied mantra of gentleness, breathing in And maybe repeating the word to yourself. And breathing out and feeling it in your body. As you breathe in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll start to rise all the way up to stand. And as you breathe out, release the arms. And let's take our exploratory wide-legged shape to an exploratory Tadasana. So step the left foot back to the front of the mat and we'll find mountain pose and just notice what you feel. And we'll slowly open the eyes when the time feels right. And some of you know that when we do these experiments, when we try something new and potentially weird, that I like to hold space for the sharing of data. And I do this like really with the idea of like sharing the data. So if you have data that's like, that was the worst thing I've ever done, I hate gentleness, I want to punch it in the face, like that's useful information in many ways. So did anyone feel gentleness somewhere in the body? And where did it happen?
As soon as I started saying it, my shoulders went down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, I got a big like garland of roses across here, something like that. Yeah, anybody else have embodied gentleness? Sometimes it takes some work to really feel. Did anyone fight gentleness? Also normal. Yeah. You know, like when people, you know, when you're having a really shitty day, ever have one of those? And someone is like, someone has the audacity to tell you to be grateful.
Sure.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, hell no. I just say that to me. And so there's that. Like, that's real. And I find that in those moments, like, oh, good, that wasn't my water. You know, where there's resistance, like there's something interesting happening there. And, you know, we don't always know what it is in the time. But when that comes up, remember that you're normal. That's part of it. Like, resistance is part of it. And, like, learning how to work with it is part of our work. So let's come down to the floor. And we'll first find a wide-legged seat. And you probably will stagger. You could also be sideways on your mats. You don't have to be facing me ever. And you might choose to elevate your sitting bones on your blanket or a blanket folded twice. And that's especially useful if it's hard to sit up straight, which, you know, I see a lot of bodies in a week. And I'd say for like 8.7 out of 10 people, yeah, it's challenged just to sit up. So you're normal. if that's you. And the idea is to use the blanket to tilt the pelvis forward so that we can be with the length of the spine without strain. The idea is not to work so hard just to sit up. And so once you're here, just kind of check in with the points of the hips. Notice where they are. And for some of us, like, the rotation of the hips will be really prominent and obvious. Like, if we have a natural, strong internal rotation, you might find that your toes are sort of falling toward earth. Or you might have a natural external rotation, which is clearly not me because I can't make that happen, where your pinky toes are moving back toward the earth. And so we'll find something in the middle, which may require some effort to find sort of like a neutral rotation of the hips. And there will be a certain amount of engagement required so that your toes and your kneecaps are pointing toward the sky. Beyond that, can we let there be this sense of softness or ease circulating around the soles of the feet, circulating in the feet, around the ankles, in the knees, and in the hips? Now from there, from softness, spaciousness, ease, slight engagement, we'll remember the natural length of your spine. So you might find your heart blooming a bit, your shoulders sort of softening away from the ears, your shoulder blades becoming slightly more sensitive to gravity. And as it comes to you, let's let a breath out invite the awareness of our torso, our belly, our throat, and our face to turn to face the right leg, just like you're sort of turning and saying, "Hi, how do you do?" Taking the hands wide, the arms wide. Now, as you do that, things will naturally be required to engage. That's normal. That's necessary. You might run a little experiment where you relax some of those things to see what's actually necessary. And as you breathe in, you might breathe into, again, the length of the spine. And as you breathe out, you might invite your heart to start to move ever so slightly toward your toes. And you might even keep your head lifted, maybe looking beyond the toes, so that you can stay with this idea of being led by your heart and not your head. And in time, you might find that to be with the length of your spine, it makes sense to let your chin become slightly heavier, to let the nose become slightly heavier. But you might still be breathing in and lengthening the spine, and breathing out and softening the heart. And what can this shape tell us about our engagement or our relationship with both of the lungs? And over the course of the next maybe 5 breaths, we'll start to move the torso back toward upright, moving with this same kind of sensitivity that brought us into the shape. So you might go slower and notice where your body lets go, where it reengages, where effort or ease reappear. And with the breath in, we'll start to untwist. And just notice your body, like, oh, left side, right side. And in time, with the breath out, we'll turn to face the left leg, just like, hello, how do you do? Lengthening. The hands might widen, and you might just sort of be with this smile across the collarbones from shoulder to shoulder. And as you breathe out, you might start to sort of hinge from the hips, letting the heart be just guided in the general direction of your toenails. Moving and adjusting the hands with you as you go. Sort of supporting length in both sides of the body. And with the breath in, we'll start to slowly move back toward upright. Pausing. Being with the right side. With the left side. And from here, we'll sort of help the knees to bend and to bring the legs a bit closer together. And we'll move down onto the floor on our back. And if you like to pad the earth with a blanket, please feel free to always do that. And so we'll bend the knees and bring the soles of the feet to the floor with the palms facing the sky. And with your breaths in for the next handful of breaths, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll press the lumbar curve, so sort of like the small of the back, into the floor. And we'll just roll across the sacrum, bottom to top, top to bottom. And we'll let these movements become closer to the spine. Until they seem or appear to stop. And you might inhale and reach your arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, reach the arms, hands, and fingers up overhead, bending at the elbows until you have ease in your shoulders, letting the hands be soft. and you might widen the feet so that they're as wide or wider than your mat. And as you breathe out, we'll let the knees start to drop or windshield wiper to the right. Inhaling to the center. And exhaling, letting the knees drop to the left. And we'll do this just at the pace of your own breath. And with your neck and head, you might let your gaze travel with your knees, letting it shift to the left as your knees shift to the left. Or you might just keep the gaze straight ahead. If you're called to linger on a side, to stay with it and follow the sensation, then do that. And in time, we'll come back to the center and we'll make this shape of constructive rest as comfortable as possible. So you might even bend your elbows some more, or you might bring them back down to your sides. You might let your knees rest against each other. Or if your hips are sort of oriented differently, it might make sense for you to bring the soles of the feet together and let the knees separate in Supta Baddha Konasana. For others, still, this shape is not medicine, and you might extend fully into Shavasana, extend fully onto the earth. And once you've settled into the shape that you'll be in for the next few breaths, we'll start to just be with the breath, to become aware of the breath. And there's no right or way to do this than how you are, just following your own fascination. And then if it's a practice that's familiar to you, you might begin Ujjayi Pranayama, or the ocean breath. If it's not, the idea is while you're breathing through your nose to constrict the throat just a touch so that you feel this vibration as breath moves into and out of your body. And as we practice here in this space, the idea is to be as gentle and sweet about it as we can. So that rather than forcing, we're just engaging enough to feel this vibration of breath. You might feel something like spaciousness in your throat and into your chest.
And maybe after the next 2 or 3 breaths like this, you'll start to relax that constriction in the throat. And you'll start to breathe freely. And it might feel, after releasing the constriction, as though you're breathing with your entire body. You might start to notice this sense of aliveness or vibrancy. Across your entire body. And we'll soften the effort once more so that you're no longer thinking about things like aliveness or vibrancy or breath, and you're just sort of being in your body. And your body might be asking you to do something like hug your knees into your chest or rock a little bit from side to side. And you might listen to that wisdom. And in time, we'll start to move in the general direction of your shape of rest or your shape of integration. And this is whatever shape is restful to you. So it can be on the back or the side or the belly or with the legs up the wall. Lots of props, or no props at all. Letting everything settle into the earth. And watching your breath blow across your body and blow across the earth. might start to notice your body and how it's making contact with the earth, how it's being supported by the earth. You might notice the contact that your body is making with the sky. The air and space all around you. And you might begin to take slightly deeper breaths, slightly more constructive breaths. Noticing how much you move as you breathe. And you might invite those movements to stretch and to spread across the body. And in the way that makes sense to you, you know, just sort of bring movement back. You might make your body long, or you might hug everything in to the center. You might rock from side to side. And in your own time, and moving just like you, start to make your way back toward your seat. Your luminous seat. Bring your hands to your heart in a way that makes sense. It doesn't have to be anything you've seen before. And there's something about bringing the hands to the heart that opens us up to sending and receiving the messages or the mantras that we need to send and receive. And so if a word or a sensation or the essence of something occurs to you as you bring your hands to your heart, just give it some space. Thank you all so much for sharing this space. Thank you for sharing this practice. Thank you for sharing yourself. Love. Namaste. Always ask if you have any questions. Always tell me if you have anything to share. Thanks for being here.
Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks.